The manner in which God hardens humans' hearts remains a mystery. We don't know how it happens. It's not described of okay, here's where Pharaoh's heart hardened a little bit, and here's where God comes in and goes, hey, don't you remember that one frog that fell into your mouth? Ooh, that was slimy. Harden it a little bit more. He's like, yeah, I will harden it a little bit more.
That's more than slimy. Right.
God never actively moves the will of the sinner. He never infuses evil thoughts into the mind of anyone. Thus, God's manner of hardening at times may be a withdrawal of his common grace, as Paul Copin suggests. He may remove his restraints to human evil. And that's something that I don't think we speak up against enough, is we just assume, oh, you know, yeah, okay, we're fallen sinners, but we're not that bad sometimes. Yeah. No, we're not that bad sometimes because God declares that we're not that bad sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. So, but as Paul indicates in Romans 1, 24 and 32, three times Paul uses the phrase, God gave them up. And Romans 1, we talked about this a number of times. Any good presuppositionalist knows Romans 1, verse 24, 26, 28. He indicates here, Paul does, that he allows a breach in the dam that holds back the wicked from carrying out their evil desires. He gives them over. He lets them be susceptible even more so to the evil, so much that they replace the glory of the image of God for image of man and worship the creature rather than the creator. Well, okay, that's not what they're supposed to do. And calamity befalls them even more and more and more, showing the depravity and degradation that comes from it.
And we see actually the other side of it, right? This, you know, Christensen tells us the manner in which God hardens hearts remains a mystery. But notice in Romans chapter 1, what we see is the manner in which God keeps us from the, from ugly evil. It's kind of mysterious, right? Because he's holding people back so that they're not as evil as they could be, right? In the hardening of the heart, he's allowing people to be evil. And in Romans chapter 1, he's keeping people from being evil, although he kind of withdraws little by little that influence, right? And so, yeah, it's a really interesting thing. But in all of this, we see that God is, you know, ultimately in control of his creation.
Right.
And that's the point that Christensen wants us to see. Mm-hmm. God is in control of his creation, whether good, bad, what, ugly, whatever, God is in control, right? And so he tells us that at other times, scripture indicates that Satan or other evil spirits become his instruments to incite evil, you know, as in Job's case.
Right.
And so in this sense, we might say that God permits sin and evil. And yet he tells us this is not a passive or bare permission, but rather a deliberate, active, or willing permission, right? Scripture uses, he says, a range of language to indicate that all evil is ultimately part of God's purposeful decree.
Mm-hmm.
And so we must not avoid the language of divine causation or determination, right? In an attempt to try to protect God. He can protect himself. Right. And so we don't need to do that. We need to say what scripture says about who God is and what he does.
Right.
Right.